All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And hello and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry and I get to be your host today. I was a CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam 1969. We want to welcome you to our program today in this most unusual of circumstances. We're going to be talking today about some of the process that some of the organizations out there that are helping out with veterans as far as monetary help, homelessness, so on and so forth. So I'm going to have a local guest here. Bob Bull will be on in just a moment. And then I've got a gentleman from the Army Relief Fund. I've got some other people from different organizations that are going to be on talking about how we can help each other out in these emergency type situations. And at the end of the program, we're going to be talking with our good friend Dwight Zimmerman about some books that maybe we might want to be reading since we are relegated to our inside of our houses these days. And it's not a bad time to take a look at some of these books. I think some of you have heard of some of them, and some of them are going to be new that you can do that. But first, I want to make sure that we get into the opening of our program here with thanking our sponsors. And that is, I want to make sure that we thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. For more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. Or give them a call, 800-693-4800. We want to thank U.S. Wings also. U.S. Wings manufactures the finest leather flight jackets in the world. And U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, go to their website. That's uswings.com. I want to make sure that, many businesses are having some difficulties during this time with some especially U.S. Wings. They have a store down in Hudson, Ohio, and the doors are closed right now, and everything is done online. Not that U.S. Wings hasn't been online for, gosh, probably 20 years now. And very successful. So I encourage you to go to their website and get all kinds of great military paraphernalia on there. Also, Legal Help for Veterans, even though their offices are not physically manned, they are there online, answering your phone calls and everything all the way along the line. So if you have any claim problems or issues that you need solutions to, please give Legal Help a call. Of course, we couldn't do the program without the financial assistance of our three local veteran service organizations, and that is American Legion Post 46, which is Veterans Helping Veterans, the VFW Post 423, VFW No One Does Enough for Veterans, and also our VPA Post 310. Charles S. Kettle's Vietnam Veterans of America Post 310. Never again shall a veteran coming home from battle be made to feel alone and unappreciated. Joining me on the line right now is a local veterans advocate and someone who's very, very involved in the local veterans community. He is also the pastor, of the Newark Church and Ministries. He's an Air Force veteran. I want to welcome to the program Bob Bull. Bob, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. It's a little bit low, but that's all right. I got you.
Okay. So, I'm kind of on the speakerphone, so I'll speak up a little louder, that's all.
Well, I know. When it's you talk, you don't need to have a microphone sometimes.
That's for sure. Yeah, I know that this started, Dale, because we were talking about some of the things that veterans can that benefits them that they can't get necessarily through the VA. One of the statistics that drives me crazy is that almost 63% of the veterans out there today can't or don't go to the VA for any kind of help. And so that's one of the reasons why I got involved with VCAT, which is the Veterans Community Action Team. And I started digging around, and I guess that's why I became chairman of the Quality of Life Subcommittee for that team. So I'll start with caregivers, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Tell me about them.
this thing right now with the coronavirus and with veterans in the hospitals where people can't visit them and things like that, caregivers come in and they get a rough time also because of this kind of situation. So there are a couple of organizations out there that help caregivers an awful lot. One of them is local with us, and that's Warriors and Caregivers United, or WACU as they call it. And if there are caregivers out there that need help, they can contact Stephanie at 315-405-3967. That's Stephanie at Warriors and Caregivers United. Another organization that's nice and close to is Homefront Strong. And its tagline is Building Resilient Military Families. And their number is 734-998-2205. Yeah, I know this is going to be an exercise in writing, but
right, yeah, make sure everybody, yeah, you need to have a pencil and paper today.
That's
so
for
that we
sure.
can help you out with these things. The caregivers, also WACU, or Warriors and Caregivers United, has a website that you can go to. It's wacu.org.
Right.
If you didn't get that number written down in time, so you can find out more information about contacting Stephanie. And there are many, many veterans. This was originally, I guess, started as by a group of Vietnam veterans that wanted to help this generation of veterans.
Yep, that's true. That's exactly right. I want to put a plug in for the veterans organizations that you were talking about real quickly, too, because I belong to the VFW, the American Legion, and the VVA. I want to let those know that don't belong to them that we would not have the benefits that we have today, even the Agent Orange monies and services that are available, the new Blue Water Navy caregiver programs right now, and all of these others, access, we wouldn't have those if we didn't have veteran service organizations. And frankly, the people in the veteran service organizations are getting older, and we need fresh blood. There are over 600,000 veterans Right. just in Michigan, and so we should be able to fill up these organizations and make them even stronger for the veterans that are coming up behind us. So I just wanted to put a plug in for that, too, if I can. We need to get more people to join those organizations.
Right. Well, we're always needing more and more. And as you mentioned, probably the average age of most of those organizations is well over 60 now. And so, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we can bring in new people and new blood that can continue on with the great work that these organizations have done. I wanted
yes, sir.
To... ask you a little bit, Bob, about, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but I'm certain that you are, with the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. I was trying to look for information yesterday for where people can go for emergency money.
And well, there's a lot of different places where they can get emergency money. The Michigan Veterans Affairs is just one of them. Even the veteran service organizations, the American Legion and the VFW, have funds available for veterans that are in need. And sometimes those funds can be even gotten a lot quicker than through the Veterans Affairs. But Michael Smith is the man in charge of the MVAA here in the Ypsilanti Ann Arbor area, and his number is 734-973-4541. And Michael Smith knows everything.
Michael will be on the program next week. We're going to talk a little bit more about benefits and how people can, you know, get some of these emergency funds if you need them. And I know that there's money available. I got an email from the Disabled American Veterans, and they've got emergency funds available. And I think, as you pointed out, all the local service organizations have some sort of emergency assistance that they can help you out with. And the state of Michigan, as one example, has got the Michigan Veteran Trust Fund, which will help you with mortgages and some of your everyday emergency money that you may need for an electric bill or gas bill or something along those lines. And yep. So we're aiming to have somebody on for that next week as well. Because normally the program at the end of the month is our benefits program. And so that's what we're going to be talking probably more about next week until this, this lockdown time, it has ended. And I really don't see it ending for a long time. Bob, I know that you're working on trying to come up with housing for veterans. Can you talk a little bit about that in the local area? If there are any homeless veterans out there that probably aren't listening to the radio, but maybe we can find them and direct them.
Well, the homeless project I'm working right now is still in the, in just what I said, working stages. There are a lot of different places where they can find temporary housing. Our program is for permanent housing for homeless and at-risk veterans here in the Ypsilanti area. And if I can get the city council to give us a break and help us out, we may have a building in short time. The biggest thing, though, is veterans at risk. We have right around 34, 35 homeless vets in the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti area that are continually homeless. But we have a lot of veterans who at any given time could become homeless. They're called at-risk veterans. And those veterans are the ones that we're looking at right now for the kinds of housing that are needed at a short period of time, short notice. One of the areas where they can get some help with that is with the vet centers. There are a lot of different vet centers in the southeastern Michigan, and one in Pontiac. There's one in Detroit. There's one in Dearborn. There's one in Bedford Township.
There's one out in Jackson.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know there's one out in Jackson. Unfortunately, most of them are unmanned right now, and I think that probably in our local area, Michael Smith is the one they get a hold of with the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. He knows everybody in the state. So if you're
and Michael Smith also handles
something,
the,
I would get a hold of him again.
Yeah, Michael also handles the funds that come through the Washtenaw County Council of Veterans too. So there's another place where some monies are available almost instantaneous. It doesn't take a whole lot of work to get some funds, badly needed funds. For that, I know veterans are looking for jobs too. And even though there aren't a lot of places that are open right now, Michigan Works has several programs where they find jobs specifically for veterans. And so that might be another place that our vets could go and look at, especially if they're working on collecting unemployment. There may be a contact for them for Michigan Works through that. So that's another place that they may be looking at right now. One of the most important things, though, is to make sure they've got that DD-214. They have to prove that they're a veteran. It's not necessary that they have to be an honorably discharged veteran. It helps. But there are a lot of programs for veterans who are less than honorable, and I don't want them to be afraid to go out and talk to people and ask people just because they may have had a general or a medical discharge or something like that, it was less than honorable. So I want to be sure that they know that too, Dale.
Well, we just want to make sure that there are services out there that can help our local veterans and veterans all across the country. We talked briefly about the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency and all of the help that they can provide for you. I wanted to just get this out for those of us, those of you that are listening to us out in California. They've got a very, very good program under the California Veterans Assistance Foundation. And you can just go and look up for more information out there. This program will be repeated tomorrow in California. So I want to make sure that those people are aware that there's a program out there. And that website is www.cavaf.org. That's the California Veterans Assistance Foundation. We want to make sure that we can help you folks, men and women out there, any way that we can during this lockdown and anytime. It doesn't necessarily take a virus to have people cause people to have run into financial or medical and health problems. So we want to make sure we can help them all. Bob, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day for joining us on the program, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you very much.
Dale, can I give just one more thing? One real quick.
Sure, go right ahead.
I've got a lot of information here that I couldn't put on your program. It'd probably take hours. If somebody's looking for something specific, or if they're in dire need of food, or if they're in dire need of shelter or supplies for their home or something like that, I'd like to give them my phone number. It's 734-664-7878. Again, that's 734-664-7878. And because I can usually send them to some place where they can get something now or within a few hours.
Okay. Got it. That's Bob Bull. Phone number is 734-664-7878. Thank you very much, Bob, for being on the program. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you too, Dale. God bless you.
God bless you too. All right. We'll be back just a moment. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Lieutenant General Raymond Mason on the program, and he's with the Army Emergency Relief Fund out there. So we're going to be talking to the Army veterans there, and we'll be talking about other programs that are available to you throughout the hour. So you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Kid Rock. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to VeteransMatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us. Now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
All right, and we are back here on Veterans Radio, and we're talking now. We're coming up, and we're going to have our next guest, and this is Lieutenant General Raymond Mason, United States Army retired. Let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman. He's the 9th Director of the Army Emergency Relief, and he's took over in January 2017, retired from the United States Army in October of 2014, after serving 35 years on active duty. I can't even go into all of the places that he's been, all the things that he has done, but mainly it looks like he was involved with logistics, and that's something I'm going to talk to him later on about. I want to talk about logistics. But right now I want to welcome Lieutenant General Raymond Mason from the Army Emergency Relief to Veterans Radio. Welcome, General Mason.
Hey, Dale, great to be here. Great to be with you and your team, as well as your listeners. Looking forward to talking to you.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to do this. And I was looking out all over the Internet, trying to find out how we can help our veterans, and came upon your organization, the Army Emergency Relief. And I wanted you to, if you could just tell our audience a little bit about what you do and some of the amazing things that you do.
Sure. I guess first thing I'd say is I tell people this is the second best job I've ever had in my life, being the director of Army Emergency Relief. 35 years in the Army, got a chance to do a lot of things. But this is just, it's really a labor of love, and I'm very honored and blessed to be able to help our soldiers and families and give back what I was, given so greatly in my time in the Army and my family. Of course, what's the best job? Being a battalion commander in the great 82nd Airborne Division. Pretty tough to beat that. But yeah, I also served in aviation unit, my first unit in the Army, actually, Dale, the same place you grew up in the Army. But AER has been around 78 years. Our mission statement was given to us by George C. Marshall, Chief Staff of the Army, in 1942, and he said, our mission is to help to relieve financial distress on the force. That mission was true then, and it's absolutely true today. In our history, 78 years, we've been the conduit through which about $2 billion in assistance has been provided to about 4 million members of the Army team. Every dollar that we provide to the Army team was donated to us. The other thing I want to mention right up front is this isn't just about the Army. Each of the services has a similar organization to us. There's the Navy Marine Relief, the Air Force Relief, and the Coast Guard Relief. And so we all partner together. We all have very similar missions. We are focused on our services. And then there's another organization right up front that I want to also mention and thank, and that is the American Red Cross. They are really the safety net behind all four relief agencies. And if you can't get in touch, either, you know, physically go to the office or go through one of our online application processes, which we'll talk about in a minute, you can always call the American Red Cross, no matter what branch you are. And their phone number is 877-272-7337. Every year we do about $70 million in assistance. About $50 million of that is no interest loans. And then another $10 million or so is grants that soldiers don't have to pay back. And then we do another about $10 million in educational scholarships for spouses and children. That's what we do. I can talk a little bit more, obviously, in detail in a minute.
It sounds terrific. I can remember when I was in Vietnam, people, you know, that had to get home, they always, you know, the Red Cross were the people that got you home if you needed to get there. They were the ones that, you know, got you the money, got you the airfare, got you on the planes and everything else. So it's interesting to find out how involved the Red Cross still is with the American military. And I'm grateful that you brought that up. So tell me about your special right now, COVID-19 assistance programs.
Yeah, so on March 16th, as you know, the states began to do the stay-at-home orders and other you know, regulations and rules they want to put in place, we also then executed a online application process. We are located, Army Emergency Relief is located at every Army base around the globe. In fact, we've got an AER office at the Detroit Arsenal there in Michigan. Those are staffed by great folks that are working with soldiers and their families every day. But a lot of those offices have obviously been closed since, you know, COVID-19 has hit. So we put in place an online application. You can go to our website. It's www.armyemergencyrelief.org. We're a .org organization. And it walks you right through how to do the application. You could do document upload through a secure portal. And then once we work the assistance case, usually in a couple hours, we will then do an electronic funds transfer of dollars from our bank account at AER directly to the soldier's bank account. That's been working very successfully for the past month. We've been helping, you know, soldiers and their families when they're trying to navigate through these tough times.
Mm-hmm. So is there a minimum or maximum that a soldier can request?
No, there is not. Number one, it doesn't matter what rank you are. There's no maximum amount. There's no minimum amount of dollars. It's all needs-based. We look at the need that you've got. We take a look at your budget. Where are you financially? Everything we do is needs-based. Now, it's also important for people to understand who's eligible for AER and the other relief agencies. We're all almost identical in this. So it's active duty and their families. It's retired soldiers and their families. Medically retired as well. It's active guard reserve. It's survivors. So if a, you know, husband, wife lost their military member, mom, dad kind of thing, the children, those survivors, they're also eligible. And then reserve and National Guard, when they're brought on to active duty and on the 31st day of active duty orders, they become eligible for AER. We frequently waive that 30-day requirement. We did it a couple years ago when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and we ended up providing almost $4 million in grants to Reserve and National Guard soldiers that were not brought to active duty. So with COVID-19, we also waived some of the requirements. So if you're a reserve or National Guard soldier, let's say you got ready to, you got orders to deploy somewhere, but you hadn't come on active duty yet, and then those orders got canceled because of stop move. Department of Defense did a lot of stop move things. You are eligible. We are also looking right now at potentially expanding our support of reserve and National Guard soldiers not on active duty. And I should have a decision on that hopefully in the next week or so, and then we'll announce that. We're trying to support the full Army team as best we can. We obviously have financial limitations like everybody, but we know people are hurting out there, and we're trying to do everything we can to help them.
Well, absolutely. And of course, you know, people are more than welcome to make donations if they'd like to the Army Emergency Relief, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can go right to our website. We've got a donation tab you can click on, and you can do it by check. You can do it by credit card. Most active duty and retired soldiers do it by what's called an allotment, which I'm sure you're aware of back in your time in the Army, which just comes out of their monthly pay. So we receive no federal taxpayer dollars. We really survive off the generous donations of soldiers, whether they're active, retired, American citizens and corporations. The other important thing is so people know that we are good stewards of this precious dollars that they donated. 90 cents of every dollar that gets donated to AER goes right back to help soldiers and their families. That's one of the highest of any nonprofit in the United States. We're obviously very proud of that.
I would think so. Yeah, that 90% is great. I had a couple of other questions in here I wanted to grab real quick. One was a child care assistance. How do you help out with that?
Yeah, so actually about a year ago, we started this year with it. We put in place a program where we can help families when they PCS, permanent change of station, from one installation to another. They arrive at the new base. Let's say they were at Fort Lewis, Washington, and then they got moved to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and there was no room at the Child Development Center for their children. So now they have to go out on the economy, which can be much more expensive. So there's an Army program for that. It's called the Fee Assistance Program. And we at AER help with what costs they might have out of pocket. So as we all know, child care is one of those really tough things for families, especially when both parents are working, which is so much more common nowadays. So we do have the child care assistance. The other thing I would mention is the most common thing actually we're seeing with COVID-19 is really two things. One is a family's kind of stuck in limbo between two installations. They got orders, let's say, to go to Germany. They packed up their household goods. They packed and shipped their car, but then they were told to stay in place because no one could move. And now they're living somewhere, perhaps in a hotel or something, don't have any of their belongings. So we're helping them with that. But the second most common we're seeing, this is particularly among the retired, but also with active duty, and that is where the spouse has been laid off, furloughed, whatever, and the family was counting on two incomes. Now all of a sudden they only have one. And for, right. You know, so they kind of redo their budget, rethink their bills. It puts them in a real tough spot as those bills keep coming in. So those are probably the two most common things we're seeing right now.
And so we're talking with Lieutenant General Raymond Mason here. It's from the Army Emergency Relief. And we're talking about how anybody who's, you know, not anybody, but those of you that are still in the military, those of you that retired, and some particular discharge people, I can review that again, but you can go straight to their website, which is armyemergencyrelief.org, and find out how they can help you out. And as the general pointed out, all the other services also have these type of organizations out there. And I printed off a list. I'm going to put it up on our website later on tonight to make sure that everybody can get the help if they want to. Let's see, we've got the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, the Air Force Aid Society, Coast Guard Mutual Assistance, in addition to the Army Emergency Relief. And pretty much every state has got some sort of veterans program going where they can help out as well. So we just want to make sure that everybody can take care of themselves the best that they can. Is there anything else that you would like to add, sir?
Sure, Dale. There is also another organization for federal employees. It's called the Federal Employee Education Assistance Fund. They assist federal employees when they get in a tough spot as well. They also do no interest loans. So So it's FEEA, Federal Employment Education Assistance Fund. So I'd certainly guide people to that. The other program we're looking at right now at putting in place is, unfortunately, as we've all read in the papers, when a loved one passes away right now because of what's going on at cemeteries, what's going on in the hospitals, they're having to keep the remains longer in either the morgue or at a funeral home, and that's beginning to put some pretty serious financial burdens on family. They obviously want to do everything they can to take care of their loved one, but yet they may not have the money. So we're putting in place another program that I should be able to announce next week as well, where we'll assist with funds for the dignified storage of remains of a loved one. And that'll be also, we'll open that also up for Reserve and National Guard that are on active duty, because that's the last thing we want to do is they're already grieving
right.
and just
yeah,
to add additional burden on them.
Yeah, there was a article in a local Detroit paper today about the problems that, you know, many of the funeral homes are having in the numbers that they're having to work through. And that is, you know, sometimes takes a week or 2 weeks before they can even get ready for a burial, which is really sad, of course.
Another thing, Dale, I want
to
make sure that the listeners know.
Your background.
Go ahead. I was just going to say another point I wanted to make is we have over 30 different categories. You know, you just asked about a couple, which was child care and some other ones. But we have over 30 different categories of things that we can provide support for. Car repair, rentals, you know, mortgage payments, insurance things, all kinds of different things. But the point I always make to soldiers and their families is, look, when in doubt, come to AER. We'll work with you. We'll help you the best of our ability. Asking for help is a sign of strength. And you should come to AER or one of the other relief agencies and get that support. So we just want to make sure we're there for them.
I wasn't even aware of your organization. And I wanted to do this to make sure that people are aware that these organizations are out there to help, no matter what branch of the service that you're in. You know, the old saying is that we had your back when you were in the service, and we've got your back now. We want to make sure that you can take care of yourself and your families. And I really greatly appreciate what you are doing, General, and what the other branches are doing as well.
I think we're gonna come out of this thing on the other side. We're obviously, as you've heard, we're all in this together. It's been all over the news, and it's absolutely true. But we're gonna come through this, I think, a little smarter, hopefully a lot wiser, more prepared for the next time, because we have great leadership across our nation, certainly in the services, but the American people are rising to the occasion like they always have. And they always will. And the spirit and the resiliency of the Americans, you know, population is incredible. Around the world, too. I've traveled all over the world. My mom's German. I've, you know, had an opportunity to live lots of places, and they're just great countries. But, you know, I love the United States, and I know we'll get through this.
Oh, I know we will, too, especially with people like you, with your logistics background. On how we can get everything out to everybody a little bit quicker next time. I think that's an important thing that we have to. I think we need to plan ahead. Like the Army always seems to always plan ahead everything.
Well, we do logistics on a global scale. You know, we've been doing it really probably since World War II, even World War I. So we've got a lot of experience with it. You know, FEMA is a great organization as well, and Homeland Security, but they tended to really have to deal with regional things of a state or a couple states. A nationwide, crisis like this, really, it's unprecedented. And I think they're working their way through it. They're great Americans there. In fact, my niece works at FEMA. It's amazing what they're doing, and I think they're getting out ahead of it. But yeah, there's challenges, no doubt about it. Logistics at this level is incredibly hard, and but they'll rise to the occasion as well.
I know everybody will. It's unfortunately there's a lot of trial and error going on. Everybody's doing the best job that they can possibly do, and as you mentioned, we will come through this, come out the other side, hopefully a little bit better, and know what we have to do the next time if it happens again. I was always amazed how even when I was in the service, how logistically, we always got whatever we needed, whether it was a replacement blade for a helicopter or just a uniform. It always seemed to show up right at just in time. So I want to thank you, as you were involved in that, and especially I want to thank you for your work with the Army Emergency Relief. Thank you very much.
Well, Dale, absolutely. Thanks for your service to the nation and what you continue to do. Our veterans gave so much to our nation, and we deserve to give them back. My dad did was World War II, and he was also in Vietnam, a couple tours in Vietnam. And, we haven't always treated our veterans correctly, but I think, we've recognized that, and they're trying to make the corrections there. I'm impressed with the Veterans Administration. And I think they also are trying to do the best they can. It's a huge challenge. There's a huge demand out there. We've got the demand now, which is the unseen injuries of Iraq and Afghanistan. A lot of it traumatic brain injury, that's a generational challenge, just as some of the things that came out of Vietnam, Agent Orange and things of that nature. So I think the nation has recognized that we have to do right by our veterans that gave so much, some of them the last full measure. Just go to the wall down in Washington, D.C. from the Vietnam War. Right.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. That General Washington said, how are you going to keep an army going? Because the new army is going to look back and see how you treated the old army. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. We want to make sure that nothing prevents these young men and women that are serving now from getting the very finest of care and benefits that we can give them. Thank you very much. I want to thank General Raymond Mason from the Army Emergency Relief.org for being on Veterans Radio today. And thank you very much for your service, and God bless you, and stay safe, stay home.
Absolutely. God bless you as well. Dale, thanks for helping us get the word out. Stay safe, Army strong.
All right, Army strong. Let me know what happens with the things that you're hopefully going to get.
I will
get taken care of this week. Thank you.
I will send. I'll send you an update on that, Dale, for both the Reserve National Guard as well as the dignified remains.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to that. I'm learning more and more as I do this program about what we can do to help each other out.
Absolutely, my friend.
All right. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking books with our good friend from the Military Writers Society, and that is Dwight Zimmerman. So stick around. You are listening to Veterans Radio.
Hi, this is Kid Rock. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight, streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to VeteransMatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us. Now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
All righty. And we are back now on Veterans Radio. And right now we want to talk about books. We're going to come up with a list of what we think is books that you may want to read during your time at home. If you've already gone through your entire library. And joining me on the show right now is our very good friend, author himself, award-winning author himself, and former president of the Military Writers Society. And they have a new long name, which I cannot remember right now. But Dwight Zimmerman, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, it is so good to be here. Thank you again for inviting me. It's an honor.
Well, it's always fun to talk with you, Dwight, because you seem to know everybody that's in the military writing field. And so we can we can always get a good list of books that people should be reading. I want to make sure that I get one out before I forget here. I don't have my books on a list of paper. I have them stacked up on the floor. My wife's going to love that one. anyway,
me too.
Golly gosh, I got this book here. It's called Top Gun, 50 Years of Naval Air Superiority by Dwight John Zimmerman. You know that guy?
Unfortunately, yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm kind of really close to him.
Well, it's a great story of the Top Gun program, and it's pictures of everything. Jets, comic books about daredevil ace pilots and so forth. It's a great read, and I strongly recommend this. I know the movie has been postponed until I think it was December now, but you can get a jump on the whole thing. Top Gun, well, 50 Years of Naval Air Superiority by Dwight Zimmerman. Put that on your list. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Thank you. I had a great time, putting that thing together. I learned an awful lot, and it was just such a fascinating story, not just about the Top Gun program, but the whole development of fighter pilots from World War One to present day, all the different things that they went through. And it was just, fun to give this sweeping history of fighter pilots.
That's for sure. And I can only imagine, those first fighter pilots learned a lot about crashing, I think, more than anything else.
I was able to get photographs of the early cockpits. And so when you're seeing the, lack of instrumentation compared to then, fighter planes now, hey, that's just, before and after, education, it was amazing.
It was. I mean, those things were literally held together by string and baling wire.
Yep.
It's amazing. All right, so that was my first book I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. What would you suggest?
Okay. As you and I'm sure quite a few of your listeners are aware, Military Writers Society of America promotes the work of veterans for the most part, though I was not a veteran. But it is an inclusive organization, and they're dedicated to getting veterans primarily to tell stories, whether it's memoirs, histories, fiction, it covers the gamut. And I'm happy to recommend four books that people can get. And I'd like to start with one of the more unusual ones, primarily because it focuses on something that was so vital, but it's also so overlooked. And the title is called Winds, Waves, and Warriors, Battling the Surf at Normandy, Tarawa, and Incheon. And it's written by Thomas M. Mitchell. And what it is it's a very well-researched book that examines the oceanography, the effect of tides and surf and storms and everything on pivotal, amphibious landings that we had, Normandy, Tarawa, and Incheon. Cause we always tend to focus on the human enemy. But in this case, the author really does an excellent job of presenting the ocean itself as an equal foe that the Navy had to deal with. And, he combines, technical information with personal anecdotes of the sailors and soldiers and Marines who, suffered, the landing craft is being tossed and turned and overturned, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a really fascinating story. Winds, Waves, and Warriors, Battling the Surf at Normandy, Tarawa, and Incheon. It's available in hardcover on Amazon. And to anyone who is a serious student of military history, I would highly recommend getting this because it fills that overlooked niche that for me, I find that this just so exciting.
I think it does sound really interesting to figure out, you know, we were just talking with General Mason about logistics and the whole thing about, you know, the Navy. You can't make a landing at low tide in a lot of these places that they, you know, had to go ashore on. And, you know, they had to get over coral reefs and they had to get around rocks and all kinds of different things. And I think the idea of military planning, we don't give a lot of credit to a lot of times to the people who did the planning to get these people on these shores.
You're right. You know, and really, when they were planning this thing, their windows, you know, were high tide, low tide, and then looking at, well, is there a storm coming in? Is that how is that going to affect, you know, the landing? In fact, well, Normandy had to be pushed back. You know, it's famous, you know, just because of the storms. You know, and you know, that if they didn't do it on June 6th, then it, you know, the earliest time that they could do the next one would be July. And we all know that, you know, if the Germans had had another month worth of time to Rommel being who he was, you know, he could have set up some defenses that would have made Omaha rather, instead of being an isolated thing, you know, they could have knocked back all of the Allies.
Well, I think it's very interesting when we look at those things. I wanted to my next one was going to be, where did it go? Here it is. I had the opportunity to interview Carl Marlantis twice on Veterans Radio. The first time was his book Matterhorn, where he talked about his experiences as a Marine in Vietnam and taking this hilltop fire base and then giving it back and taking and all the other things. His second book, which is just, I think, as powerful as the first, is it's called What It Is Like to Go to War. And it talks about his experiences and others in actual combat and what it was like for them when combat was over. How do you come down from that one? And that kind of piggybacks with it. But it's Carl Marlantis, and the second one is called What It Is Like to Go to War. And, of course, he was the author of Matterhorn. Two great books about the Vietnam conflict and about some of the problems that the men, you know, men and women had going to war and coming back from war. And I wanted to, I'm kind of stepping on you here, Dwight, just a second. I wanted to piggyback that one with one more book, and then I'll let you go. And this is a book written by a gentleman named Elliot Storm, and it's called These Scars Are Sacred. And this book I was introduced to, probably 10 or 12 years ago, and I had the opportunity to meet Elliot. Unfortunately, Elliot has passed away as a result of Agent Orange, but he was a Marine as well, and he talked about that all of the things that he experienced while he was in the service, physically and psychologically, were scars that he needed to be proud of. Didn't have to be sorry about, you know, what you went through and so on and so forth. All of these experiences made you who you were. And so the book is entitled These Scars Are Sacred. I believe it's still available on Amazon. It's a great read. And it's a pretty emotional read for a lot of people. But anyway, These Scars Are Sacred by Elliot Storm. So those are mine for now. Your turn.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we're talking about powerful emotions. I want to recommend this novel, Battle Scars, by David Selkin. This is a story that I'm sure that quite a few of your listeners are going to identify with. I'm just going to do a quick synopsis of the story itself. Marine Corporal Sean Nichols is wounded in a devastating ambush that takes the lives of his three friends and leaves him an amputee. If not for the heroism of his sergeant, Deke Tillman, who pulled him out of the road, Sean would surely have died with his fire team. With the help of Deke, Sean now embarks on his next mission, recuperate from his serious injuries and visit the families of his fallen comrades as he tries to make peace with such a profound loss. this is a really powerful emotional story, you know, of combat and recovery and everything in between. And I know that you've had many people on your program over the years who have discussed this sort of thing, and this is where battle scars, MWSA has given it a gold medal because it is such a powerfully written book. It's available both in soft cover and on Kindle.
Okay. I think, that sounds like a book I need to read. I think it's something that I'm amazed by these men and women that write these books that, they went through a horrific experience in their lives, and they come out on the other side and they're able to help others with their stories. And I think that's so important. And that's why we always, as I know you do with the military writers and we do on our program, is we encourage these veterans to tell their stories and, get them out there, because most of the time they're just regular, everyday, ordinary Americans, and during their time in the service they did some extraordinary things, and I think it's important that we continue to pay attention with that one. So what's up next? What have you got next?
I've got another work of fiction. It's called Facing the Dragon. It's written by Philip Derrick, and it's a coming-of-age murder mystery that's got a lot of twists and turns. It's a story about a 15-year-old who lies about his age, winds up going into Vietnam, impersonating a U.S. Army paratrooper, and it involves a series of murders on top of that, and which he is trying to solve and come to grips with. If that sounds really, bizarre and contradictory and what the hell, it is. and that's what makes it such a compelling page turner. It's available both as, the ebook format, it has gotten some rave reviews, from MWSA. And the title again is Facing the Dragon by Philip Derrick. And the final book that I am happy to recommend, because I actually did the review of this, is a piece of nonfiction. And it's a powerful one, let me tell you. The title is Echo in Ramadi, The First-Hand Story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's Deadliest City. It's written by Scott Husing. And I have to say that my jaw dropped when I read this thing. There are many stories that have been written about, the Battle of Ramadi, but what sets, mm-hmm. His account apart is, that it's told from the, point of view of a ground commander there dealing with it. Not from, division or, higher ups. No, he was a grunt, leading, his company, into battle, into trying to pacify neighborhoods and everything. It is such a powerfully written story. It also got a gold medal. What's amazing about this is he is completely unsparing about what happened to him, and he gets into the how he was dealing and how he initially failed to deal with post-traumatic stress and mm-hmm. his recovery from that, coming to grips with that after his military career ended, and I was really honest he was about what happened to him. And his career spanned 10 deployments and conducted operations in over 60 countries worldwide.
That's like the guy I talked with last week. So, Dwight, I'm running up against the clock here again.
Right.
So where can we get this one?
This is available in hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook.
Okay. There we go. Dwight Zimmerman, Military Writers Society of America, author of Top Gun. Thank you very much for being on the program, Dwight, and I'll be talking with you soon again. Going to do some more book reviews here.
Thank you, Dale. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, folks, we're coming up to the end of another program here on Veterans Radio. Next week, we're going to be doing our benefits program. And I wanted to give a shout-out to all the people, of course, all those people that are healthcare workers, people working in grocery stores, people working out there. I wanted to especially make sure we give a shout-out to the truck drivers that are out there driving back and forth across America, bringing us our food and our supplies and everything that we need. So I want to make sure that all of you remember to stay safe, stay inside, take care of yourselves until next week. And until then, I want to thank our sponsors again. I also want to make sure that you are aware that Veterans Radio, you can listen to all of our programs on our website, veteransradio.net. It's our archives, also as podcasts. And I want to give a shout out to the people out there in KMEP territory in California. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberg. You are dismissed.